Pretty soon David will learn how to play the piano, and it'll really be good. So we're in a series called Breathing the Air of the Kingdom, and we're talking about a theology of joy. How do we build a theology of joy in the Christian life? Imagine standing on the very top of the world at Mount Everest, reaching the summit of Mount Everest would be probably the most incredible achievement in your life if you're able to do it. Few people will ever know what that feels like. I'm glad to not be one of those. But you have to admit, it earns our admiration because it carries kind of a mythical status. I mean, so many climbers miscalculate one crucial reality, though. And this is where we see a lot of the tragedies of climbing Mount Everest. The summit of Mount Everest sits inside what climbers call the death zone. Above 26,000 feet, the air pressure is so low that the human body cannot acclimate, but just for a short moment. The oxygen is thin, cells begin to die, judgment begins to fade, all of your energy goes out. And here's what surprises most people. Most climbers do not die on Everest because they fall. A significant number of people die after they've reached the summit. On the descent, going back down to base camp, when exhaustion, lack of oxygen overtakes them, and most of them don't even know it until they're at death's door. Staying too long in the death zone environment, you're unable to recover, you're unable to think, you're unable to even go back down to base camp. The place that actually feels like arrival is actually, in some ways, the worst place to remain. And it's not just a mountain reality, it applies to the Christian life, doesn't it? The Christian life has summits. Going to summits are not bad. There are seasons of growth. There are seasons of momentum in ministry, in our own journey of faith. We hit those mountaintops and it brings back confidence. We're affirmed. We get a sense of arrival. But those summits can also be spiritually thin places if we linger there too long. And this is what really happens for people who are really engaged in ministry at the local church. Not just the people who are getting paid, but Sunday school teachers and volunteers and student ministry and all different types of ministry that we have here. You can do ministry, you can see results. You can have success, you can be admired by other Christians, but if you stay too long at that level of exertion, you begin to lose that spiritual oxygen. Your prayer time gets thin. Your devotionals get shorter. Joy begins to fade. Worship becomes mechanical. You're still functioning, but you're no longer breathing. And if you stay long enough in that spiritually thin air, the very thing that you're trying to build eventually dies. And we see that in so many pastors, we see that in so many ministers, but it happens. I mean, if you're reading about it in a Christian media outlet or somewhere else about a pastor following or whatever, think about how many that you don't hear. And think about how many believers go through that, who are not living in overt sin. They're actually doing good things, but they burn out. They stay too long at the summit. Jesus names the danger here with amazing clarity. John 6:27. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." So what Jesus does not say, he does not say that food that spoils is evil. He's not saying that. He says it does not last. He's referring really to manna. Anyone remember manna? You know, Keith Green had a song back, if you know, early days of Christian music, "So You Want to Go Back to Egypt." And it's like, there's a little line, he goes, "Manna again? You know, banana bread." And, you know, they got tired of it. So God goes, "Okay, I'll change the menu." And that wasn't a good move for the Israelites. See, you know, bread can feed you temporarily in some ways, but it still leaves your soul malnutrition because it doesn't last. That's the death zone of the soul in the Christian life. Living off of what spoils while convincing ourselves that we're fine is the dangerous place. And that happens if you're a deacon. It happens if you're an elder. It happens if you're a Sunday school teacher. You just keep pushing. You keep pushing, and you go, everything's fine. Everything's good. But something is empty. And all of us who've lived the Christian life have experienced this. Christian productivity can be a death zone. How many would agree with that? You can be so busy, so long, doing so many things that all of a sudden you become empty. So why do we do that? Sometimes we do it for approval of others. We start out really hungry just for God's green light, but then it turns into something self-centered. We feel needed. It's good to feel needed. But if you stay there too long, it's the death zone. Even a church that is really exploding with numerical growth can be, in many ways, a significant death zone. I've been a part of that. I've been a part of a rapidly growing church. And what happens is that, you know, you work so hard for the growth, and when it happens, you haven't built the inner scaffolding in your own heart, and all of a sudden, the very thing that you long for is the very thing that seems to be suffocating your joy. Proverbs 13:12 says this, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life." So when Proverbs says that hope deferred makes the heart sick, we read this almost in an emotional way, but there's an actual physiological dynamic that is underneath this. The human brain is designed to live on anticipation. That's the way that we're wired as human beings. We expect something good. The brain releases dopamine, which motivates effort, sustains endurance, and anticipation itself gives us energy. Let's think of something simple. You know, Sunday morning. I always anticipate Sunday morning. I can't wait. You know, when the incredible ice storm that shut down Noonan, nobody could literally get out. All of the meteorological information was completely accurate. And I made the wise call to shut the church down, only to wake up at 5 a.m. and it was 36 degrees. And I forgot that freezing was actually 32. But it's interesting because in a small way, I didn't get that dopamine release. There's something about like coming here on Sundays and you meet people, your friends, and there's just... It's good. You look forward to it. You look forward to singing. You look forward to the... And I think that happens in a lot of ways. And we're wired as human beings to do that. But when that anticipation is repeatedly activated, but there's no resolution, the system begins to break down. That's a real thing. Neurologically, unfulfilled expectation produces stress rather than motivation. So dopamine gives way to cortisol. And instead of energy, the body begins to experience fatigue. Instead of focus, the mind experiences fog. Over time, chronic over-anticipation without fulfillment leads to emotional exhaustion, even physical weariness. So in other words, the heart doesn't break down all at once. And it's the same way with the joy of our salvation. The joy of our salvation doesn't all just evaporate. When we are pushing and we are busy and we are doing all these things, but we're not staying where the oxygen is, all of a sudden we wind up being in the death zone. And that really is the place that harms ministry. Because you always keep telling yourself, well, after this season, we'll slow things down. How many of you have ever said that? Or heard somebody sitting next to you say that? Just kidding. You know, after we get this done, after we get across the line, you know, we'll slow it down. Each time that fulfillment is postponed, the body and the soul absorb disappointment. Eventually, joy collapses, not because life is hard on the outside, but because the nervous system has been trained to expect relief, but it never comes. And that's not just emotional language. That's how God designed us to function as human beings. Now, listen to what King Solomon says. This is one of the most honest confessions in all the scripture. In Ecclesiastes 2:10-11, he says, I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my labor, and this was the reward for all my toil. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. So Solomon got busy building the temple, building the kingdom. He says he denied himself nothing that his eyes desired. He withheld from himself no pleasure. He accomplished everything he set to do. But then he stops. He looks back over his work, all of the hard effort, all of the creativity, all the success, and he says, it's vanity of vanities. It's just like chasing the wind. It didn't really have meaning. Accomplishment, busy life, empty gain. You know, I remember traveling in ministry for years on the road in Christian music. And, you know, if it was, we're flying to San Diego, it wasn't like, oh my gosh, I get to go to San Diego. It's like, okay, there's the plane, we get in the plane, we go, see the ocean, you're like, that's cool, but I got a job to do, I don't have time for this. And, you know, I mean, that happened, I mean, I went to every single cool place in the United States over and over again. But I look back and I was so focused on the task that I didn't stop and smell the roses, I guess you could say. I look back, I was like, man, I went to all these amazing places. People paid me to go. And I was like, once I was done, boom, I was in the next place. And I look back at the times when, you know, I should have enjoyed that more. I should have enjoyed those moments. And I think that the drive for accomplishment, the drive for achievement, when that equals life, something's wrong. When the goal becomes your life, it becomes something that God never intended. The visible success that you're pushing for doesn't always equal inner health, spiritual vitality. And so those of us who are involved in doing ministry, by the way, all of us should be doing ministry, not just those who are vocational ministers. All of us involved in ministry are uniquely exposed to the death zone, because we're often rewarded for staying there. We often reward people who live in the death zone. And so here I am, you know, in this stage of my ministry, and I can see it, I can feel it. And I'm like, man, I'm not going there, because I know, I felt what it's like to linger in that space for too long. And, you know, people call it burnout. That's just not an appropriate word. It's too light. It's way worse than what you call burnout. It's a physical, emotional, spiritual meltdown. And I've been there. And I was praised for my output. People said, oh man, I don't know anybody that's more driven than Joel. I've heard that so many times. Praised, you know, for my work ethic. I pushed past limits, not just in music and ministry, but in other things that I was into. Whatever I did, I was like, I'm going to. And, you know, I look back and I realize, you know what? Those achievements, the admiration that I received, it took the place of the oxygen of God's presence, the oxygen of His joy. Not every moment was like that, by the way, but many. Ministry itself within the local church can become thin air when it's fueled by pressure instead of presence. I'm going to say that again if you're taking notes. Ministry itself can become thin air when it is fueled by pressure instead of presence. So when we meet with the staff on Tuesday mornings, I don't go, I need to hear everybody's numbers. I don't sit there and demand everybody push themselves past what's normal, because I realize that's not how you build a ministry team. You can get results, but what happens when you get those results? If the people that helped you get there can't take another step forward because they're going to fall over in the spiritual death zone, what have you achieved? It's not wrong to exert ourselves. It's not wrong to even be busy. But what it is wrong is to exchange the presence of God for ministry pressure. And even as Baptists, it's a little bit hard for us to accept sometimes. Because let's face it, we love those numbers. We're the numerical denomination. We count because you count. I thought that was funny. How many of you guys remember the spiritual scoreboard as a kid at the Baptist church on each side? One was for Sunday, the other was for what? Training union. We even counted training union. You can talk about Jesus. Listen to this. You can talk about Jesus while slowly replacing Him as your source of life. You can serve others while neglecting your own interior life that makes service to the Lord enjoyable. How many people have you heard say, hey, I'm just going to step back for a while, and you never see them again? Why? What they're saying is, man, whatever, I think they don't say I'm in the death zone. They go, whatever I'm experiencing, it's not healthy. And then they step out only to never come back again because they don't want to go back into that situation again. You can be needed constantly and spiritually unnourished. Ministry can still work for a season, even when the people who are doing it aren't healthy. well, how can somebody so full of Jesus and appear to be so dialed into the Holy Spirit, how can that happen to somebody? Because you can use your spiritual giftedness and your talents for the Lord, even in the flesh. And a lot of people won't even know it. You might not even know it until all of a sudden there's a dread. There's a dread. I think sometimes it even happens in our own devotional life. We push ourselves so hard to like get to the third heaven of experiencing God that we just forget to rest in the Lord's presence. You know, just a little longer. That's a lie, isn't it? Now, the death zone is deadly because of one persistent lie. Just a little longer. Just long enough to finish this last push and I'll be done. I'll be good after that. Just long enough to reach the goal. Just long enough to get through the season. Spiritually, we'll tell ourselves the same thing over and over again. After this initiative, after this growth phase, after the pressure lays off. But guess what happens? The pressure really never lays off. And the soul doesn't wait patiently for relief. It just shuts down quietly, and all of a sudden, before you know it, you don't even know you're in the death zone because you're in spiritual arrest. Hope deferred does not announce itself loudly. It weakens the heart slowly. And when joy finally collapses, it feels confusing because nothing obvious went wrong. Anybody ever been there before? You know? What was missing? The oxygen. The oxygen of being in the presence of God's reality. That's where the joy is. The joy is not found in the functionality. Joy is found in the Father. Joy is not found in accomplishment in ministry. It is found in adoring worship personally. Coming down from the mountain is not failure. You're not meant to live at the summit of Everest. You don't see hotels up there. They haven't built hotels up there, have they? No, you're not supposed to stay up there. Wise and old climbers know this. The goal is not the summit. The wise climbers know this. The goal is not the summit. The goal is coming back home. The goal is returning alive. Coming down from the death zone is not quitting. It's wisdom. Spiritually, coming down means to refuse to organize your life around what suffocates your soul, even if it looks impressive. So, Joel, you got all these things that you've got to do all the time. Yeah. Well, how do you manage that? I've got to carve out space in my life each day, and then at times longer periods where I'm in God's presence, I'm slowing things down, and really stepping into some spiritual disciplines. I call them the disciplines of dependence, like solitude, like meditation. There's a great book by Robert Foster called The Celebration of the Disciplines. Another book by Dallas Willard called The Spirit of the Disciplines. Now, I always tell people about spiritual. How many of you guys have heard of spiritual disciplines? They can become legalistic disciplines too. But if they're, so that's why I call them disciplines of dependency. For me, those things aren't optional. They're not optional. And when I take a break from those things, man, I get into that death zone. The good part is I can kind of start feeling it. But I've been there a couple times when I tried to be Superman and realized I wasn't. See, Jesus does not invite us to live at the edge of exhaustion. He invites us to what? Abide in me. And that's not just sitting there doing nothing. And tonight is not an accusation. It's just a diagnosis offered in grace. If parts of life feel thin right now, parts of your life feel brittle, joyless, hollow, maybe it's not because you're doing too little. Maybe it's because you're staying too long in spiritually thin air. It's interesting because Jesus says, if you remain in me, you will produce what? What? Much fruit. If you remain in me, you will produce much fruit. It just seems that almost everything in God's kingdom is counterintuitive. If you make your camp in me, if you dwell in me, if you sit at my feet, however you want to phrase it, if you're in my presence, depending upon me, you will bear much fruit. But if you get out of that space of spiritual oxygen, apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. The gospel is not another summit that we have to conquer. No, it's oxygen that we receive. That's the whole interesting thing about the Christian life. It's not passivity. It's active passivity. That's what Francis Schaeffer called it in his book, True Spirituality. We are actively cooperating with the Holy Spirit as we trust the Lord for the outcomes. That's the Christian life. That's how you stay out of the death zone. And it's something that we kind of have to recalibrate every day. See, we were never designed to live in the death zone. Where are places in your life where quote-unquote success could be disguising suffocation? And don't rush past that question. We're never out of it. We're never out of the woods. We're never out of the possibility of doing things for Jesus to the point to where our lives are brittle, empty, and unsatisfying, because God has called us to joy and happiness. By the way, in the Bible, they're the same thing. There's not a difference between the ideas biblically. They're the same thing. Where do you find it? You find it, remember this, in presence, not performance. God's called us to perform, but that performance comes out of presence. And presence has to do with proximity. So we're going to take some time to pray tonight.